The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Don't worry. He'll talk slow and dumb it down for you because he thinks he has to.
You got a real talent for this, boy.
The Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio. The Fan 590.
It's 10:02. We are back in the Fan 590. Monday, November 14th, 2010. Well, in a classic case of better late than never, we are pleased to be joined by Toronto Blue Jays General Manager Alex Anthopoulos. Alex, thank you so much.
Sorry, Jeff, I didn't want to flake out on you, but I got caught on the phone trying to get a signing done. And
can you tell us who it is?
I can't, but I'm not done, but you get some momentum going and you can't get off.
Can you give me the initials?
No, I can't.
That's okay. Listen, I appreciate it. And also, believe me, I've been at Pearson on a Monday morning. I know the routine.
Today.
Very quickly, Alex, and just let us know when you have to get on, because I know I do like the champagne and orange juice in first class myself. So, what I did want to ask you about, though, is just very simply these meetings coming up, the general managers' meetings. Do you expect that there is a possibility of a trade being made here?
I mean, I think there always is in years past. Very rarely did you see trades at this time at the GM meetings, but I get the sense, just from talking to agents throughout the week leading up to the meetings, a lot of them are going to be heading down to the meetings, which is kind of new. And that's more of an indication to me that I think the free agent market's going to move faster than it did in years past. And that's probably a result of, you know, the players that did wait last year and in years past were left out in the cold and maybe didn't get the deals that they wanted to. So I think people are going to try to jump out early and get things done. As a result, you might end up seeing some trades over the course of the next 3 or 4 days.
Have you got any free agent possibilities yourself, or are you focused in trades right now?
Both. You know, you try to do a million things once. I think the fact that you can go the free agent route and the trade route, it slows things up because everyone's looking at the same options and alternatives. So it's one of those things that you're trying to get them both done at the same time.
Alex Anthopoulos, Toronto Blue Jays general manager, joins us in the Fan 590. Having Oakland claim Encarnacion waivers, does that open things for you? I mean, I know there was no financial pressure in the team, but that is a little bit of money in your pocket, isn't it?
Sure. Well, because of the number, the salary number that he came off of it, close to $5 million, and just his salary arbitration, you know, with the 20 home runs, he would have been in line for a million or $2 million raise. And, you know, it wasn't going to fit for us at that salary rate. He had a good year for us, started out slow, but really came on strong at the end. And just in talking to his agent leading up to it, I think Edwin certainly, first and foremost, wants to continue to be an everyday third baseman, and we weren't going to have that opportunity for him right now. So he may end up being a non-tender candidate down the road and still be available come December, and then we certainly could still take a look at him if there's some other role for him on our club.
Alex Anthopoulos, Toronto Blue Jays general manager, joins us in the Fan 590. I talked about this a little bit off the top. I mean, I had a chance to talk to Aaron Hill last year about possibly moving to third base, just because I knew that there was, you know, you had to be flexible. I knew that you wanted to be flexible. The team wanted to be flexible. He seemed to be okay with that. Now, I know a lot of things have to happen before that happens. But, I mean, is there a chance that we could see him at third base next year?
I think there's a chance, the same way there's a chance you could see Jose Bautista at third base. And it's nice to have two premium athletes like that on the roster that, you know, and having spoken to both of them, all they care about is winning, and they'll do whatever it takes to help the team win. And I asked them point blank. I said, you guys obviously have the ability to move around the diamond because of your trust, and we won't do it for just a fringe guy, but if there's someone who can be an impact to our club and make the club better, would you be open to doing it? And both of them, without any concern, said absolutely immediately. So it's one of those things we're not going to force, but it's nice to know as they go into these meetings and trade talks and free agent talks that I have the ability to move those guys around if need be.
Alex Anthopoulos, Toronto Blue Jays general manager, joins us in the Fan 590. As I said, Alex, just let us know when you have to get in the plane.
I'm on the plane sitting here. So,
oh, you're on the plane? Okay.
They haven't told me to shut it off yet.
Okay, well, let me know when the stewardesses come by and tell you to shut it off. actually, they're usually pretty good. What I did want to ask you about, though, is just getting back to Aaron a bit. I'll ask you point blank. Would you be comfortable with him playing third base, with the skill set and everything? Would you be comfortable with him as your everyday third baseman?
Sure, no doubt. I mean, when he first came up, he played second, he played short, he played third. You know, the one thing about him, he could do it in a pitch. His arm strength is plus. He's a very good athlete. And I think he'd have no problem being able to adjust to the position. I think it was more of a change for him going over to second base, but especially coming off short and playing on the left side of the infield for all those years, whether it was college or even coming up through the minor league. So the skill set that he has, especially the arm strength, he'd have no problem playing third in my mind.
Alex Anthopoulos joins us in the Fan 590. I'll ask you one more very quick question. Has there been any more talks with John Buck?
You know what? I talked to his agent a little while ago, and he has some other free agents as well. And just in talking with respect to John, the market for him is very, very strong. And right now, he's sitting on years and dollars that might be, a little steep for us. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that's all ultimately what it would take to get him to sign back here. John has a strong affinity for the organization and the club, and I would like to come back. If it made sense, we'd like to bring him back as well. But that's the biggest thing. Will it make sense for us with what the alternatives are and what we can do with those funds in those years? And there's also a concern, like I told John, of blocking JPR and Cedia for a long period of time. So those are all things that go into the equation. But in the case of John Buck and even in the case of Scott Downs, both of their agents have told me they'll get back to me when they have a real good sense of where it's going, at least in this last crack, to be able to try to match.
Alex, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
All right, Jeff.
Take care.
Thanks.
Safe travels.
Okay.
That is Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, literally on the plane going to Orlando, where the Major League Baseball general managers and owners are having, I believe, 3 or 4 days of meetings. It goes up to Thursday. And as Alex said, there is a chance there'll be some moves. I mean, clearly teams are already talking. The Florida Marlins have already made moves. They're one team that I know for sure Alex Anthopoulos will talk to. So we appreciate Alex for joining us. Like I said, anybody who's gone through Pearson on a Monday knows what it's like. And we're going to shift gears right now. We're very pleased to be joined by Eric Smith, who is not at Pearson on a Monday morning. Eric Smith, Raptors color voice and Raptors reporter in the Fan 590, joins us. Mr. Smith.
Jeff, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. Well, I got to tell you, if DeMar DeRozan plays like he's played in the last two games, he looked like a first-round draft pick, didn't he, in those two games? I thought he was splendid.
He really did, and he's just playing with a ton of confidence right now at both ends of the floor, and that's kind of the impressive thing for me as well, is that he's not only bringing it offensively, but you think of some of the opponents, and I know the Raptors, the 2-8 record is not good by any stretch of the imagination, but you look at some of the opponents for DeRozan specifically that he's had to face already this year, and that's kind of goes par for the course with playing at the two-guard. Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, and trying to check guys like Steven Jackson and Gerald Wallace and keeping a lot of the premier wingmen in the league in his sights. It's a tough matchup for him every single night defensively, and yet to still have the wherewithal to be able to get it done offensively as well. He's been the best offensive player for the Raptors in a handful of their games so far, and really thrust himself into the spotlight very early in his second season.
Eric Smith, color voice of the Raptors and Fan 590 Raptors reporter, joins us. You're in Washington, I believe, correct?
We're actually still in Miami. We stayed in Miami after the game on Saturday.
Nice.
And, because of the fact that they don't play till tomorrow, we stayed in Miami yesterday, and we fly out at 1 o'clock today from Miami. So got an extra day, and the players got a day off after the back-to-back and a day off yesterday. So actually, I went to the Dolphins game yesterday and saw the Dolphins and Titans.
Wow. So NBA players had an off day in Miami.
Yes.
Do you think they'll all be?
Thankfully, they don't play today.
I was going to say, you think they'll all be on the charter?
There's a practice this morning at 10:30, and they're going straight from practice to the airport. So I think that's probably the best way to make sure that every player is on the charter.
See, that's what I love about the NBA. They'll spend their off days in Miami. A lot of other leagues are get into Washington early. Not that Washington's, Washington's better than it used to be. Look, I mean, it's an interesting place to be. Eric Smith, Raptors color voice and reporter, joins us. You know, Doug Smith had an interesting piece in the Star today where he spoke to Jay about DeRozan. And one of the points I think Jay made is that they're now putting in plays specifically for DeMar. Which I don't know if that's a dramatic departure from last year or even earlier in the year, but it would seem to me to be an indication that he's gained the confidence of the coaching staff as an offensive player.
Yeah, and I think that is a change from last year, and the reason being last year, and again, seems like anytime you mention the name Chris Bosch, it sounds like you're criticizing the guy, and it's not the case. But last year, you're clearly, in the last 7 years, you're clearly running a lot of your stuff for Chris Bosch, and the offense is running through him, and he's your first option. And even go back to last year, you're not running plays for Bosch. You're trying to get looks for Bargnani, and Calderon's starting, and Calderon's trying to use his offensive skills, and you're running plays for him and trying to spot him up from the perimeter. I think DeRozan was, at best, the fourth option and a guy who would pick and choose his spots, but just get his stuff in the flow of the offense. You're out there to defend. You're out there to bring energy. And, hey, if you got an open shot, take it. Most coaches will always tell you that. But we're not necessarily running things specifically for you. That's not the case this year. Without Bosch there, it's more about the team concept, and they are running plays specifically for DeRozan. They are running stuff specifically for Sonny Weems, and they are expecting more from the point guard position with Jarrett Jack now starting and not Calderon. So I definitely think it's a major change in terms of what we saw last year, and the fact that it's only 10 games in and he's responding thus far, I think is a positive sign for Toronto.
Eric Smith, Raptors color voice, joins us from Miami. Eric, I guess the door will never be closed. The door won't be closed for the fans and Chris Bosch ever, I don't think. But
no.
For the players, do you think facing him, you know, playing pretty well against that team, losing, but still playing pretty well against that team, do you think that, you know, that for the players, that the cord has now been cut?
I think the cord might have been cut already for some of the players because, I mean, you know what it's like, Jeff. You've been covering sports for even longer than I have. And I think the players themselves, maybe to a man, they might say, yeah, it'd be nice to stick it to Chris, a former teammate or something, or just the, you know, the friendly, competitive nature that you've got going on. But I don't know that they care as much about Bosch leaving as we all do, whether it be the media or especially the fan base. So I don't know if it means as much to them. But, yeah, you know, to get that first one, would it have been extra special to beat the guy? Sure. But even for Bosch, as frustrated and disappointed as he was with the way he personally played on Saturday night, and he really didn't show up his former team or anything or put on a big show, at the end of the day, I've got to imagine that he's going home saying, you know what, whatever, man, we got the win. It's get that first game out of the way, and it'll be just rabid when I finally come to the ACC in February. So I don't know that most of the players really care at this point because they don't seem to get caught up in the hype of it. I mean, we went through this so many times with Vince Carter over the years, and more often than not, the players say, hey, it's funny. It's fun to be part of because the fans are crazy. But at the end of the day, you know, we don't necessarily care. Yeah, Vince has come back, fine, whatever. We just need to get the win.
What did you think of Chris's body language in the court? You've seen him a lot more than I have, but what did you think of it?
I didn't think it was great. I mean, but you know what? It hasn't been great so far this season because I think he's had a struggle so far. I think the one guy that's trying to figure it out most in Miami right now is Chris Bosch.
Because
you know that LeBron is getting his touches and Wade is still finding his way on the floor, but at what point is Bosch making an impact? And again, I'm not jumping on the guy. I'm saying within the flow of their offense, they're not necessarily running things specifically for him. And he's trying to clear space. He's trying to rebound. He's trying to block shots. But on the offensive end, is it more about trying to, you know, set picks and create holes for LeBron and Wade? Or is it about trying to get stuff yourself? And so far, I don't think he's been getting a lot of stuff himself. It's funny, Jonesy actually had some stats the other day that were passed on from the Elias Sports Bureau. And it broke down the Heat when the various combinations of players on the floor, whether it be Bosch and LeBron, Bosch and Wade, Wade and LeBron, or just the individuals by themselves, and statistically speaking, through their first 10 games, the Heat have a greater advantage in terms of plus minus in points. They have a greater plus when Chris Bosch is on the floor by himself with the rest of the Heat players and LeBron and Wade are on the bench. It's kind of weird how that's gone the first 10 games. It might not mean anything over the course of 82, but so far as a team, the Heat actually seem to play better when Bosch is on the floor.
Eric, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being with us. Safe travels to D.C.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. That is Eric Smith, Raptors color voice, Fan 590 Raptors reporter, joining us from Miami. We'll be back with your Raptors calls, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Is this the real DeMar DeRozan?
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio. The Fan...
We are back in the Fan 590. 10:22 on Monday. Tomorrow, off the top of the show, Richard Petty joins us. We'll talk about the situations with the Leafs and Raptors. And we'll talk to Richard a little bit about his own situation. I mean, Richard Petty found himself at the center of a story last week when Greg Brady of the Fan 590 tweeted that... Well, that the process of replacing Richard Petty has begun. And we all know that Richard Petty, I wouldn't say was on the way out, but that, I mean, he had made pretty clear that there a move was going to be made. And it makes sense that MLSE would want to do a complete and thorough search. So we'll ask Richard Petty about that tomorrow morning. But right now we're taking your calls about the Raptors. 416-870-0590. *590 1-888-666-0590. Raptors got a split in Florida. Beat the Orlando Magic. You know, a terrific game. And look, if we're going to criticize these guys all year, and we will be critical of teams on this show, if we're going to criticize these guys all year, you know, give them credit when they play well. And I thought they played pretty well against Orlando. I mean, I thought they won that game. Didn't, you know, and I don't think Orlando necessarily handed it to him. And I liked a lot of things I saw out of that game. A lot of people, myself included, criticized Jay Triano's coaching. I like some of the things I saw in that game. I like the fact, especially now, that they're starting to put plays in for a guy like DeMar DeRozan. It's one thing to say you're going to get more players involved and that you need a more balanced offense. It's another to enact it. It's another to get the process going, which the Raptors have clearly done. And look, I mean, whatever issues plague the Miami Heat are always, always going to be favored to thump the Raptors whenever they play this year. And they didn't. I mean, they beat the Raptors, but the Raptors gave a representative effort, and you know, they certainly weren't embarrassed. And it's clear that the Heat have a lot of things to work on. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We're talking about the Raptors. Did what you see from DeMar DeRozan these two games, two 20-point games, trips to the, got inside successfully, got to the line. I mean, it's almost as if he became an offensive player in front of our eyes. Is this the DeMar DeRozan you expect to see the rest of the way? I don't expect to see him score that many points the rest of the way, obviously. I don't expect him to average 20 points a game. But are we starting to see the beginnings of the emergence of a guy who was a first-round draft pick? And, you know, there's very little doubt that he's the best athlete on that team. And if he can combine that athleticism with actually contributing to the team's offense, could be a pretty decent player. Jay in Mississauga, you're in the Fan 590.
Yeah, with regards to DeMar, his ability to get to the line is amazing. But actually, I wanted to make a comment about the Heat. Just Chris Bosh's body language over that game just seemed awkward to me.
I mean, with you, and that's why I asked Eric Smith that, Jay. I watched part of the game, and I mean, he didn't look like Chris Bosh, did he?
It's just that when the alley-oops were being thrown for Wade and Bosh, I mean, everybody was excited, but Bosh remained on the bench. He didn't get up when the rest of the team were getting excited.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, and Eric Smith made the point, I think, very, very succinctly that, you know, of those three guys, the guy who was going to have to adapt the most to the way things, and by those three guys, I'm talking about Dwayne Wade, who was already there, of course, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh, the guy who was going to have to do the most adapting was Chris Bosh, because whatever was going to come out of those three playing together, the one thing you did know is Chris Bosh is very seldom going to be the first option the way he was in Toronto.
In that, and then he went there to get the attention, and I mean, since that article was written about him, about how he's not the fit there, I mean, I think the honeymoon phase may be over there. I think he may be the third man out. I mean, he's not even rebounding. I mean, he's not. The Heat need a big man, and he's only putting up 6 rebounds a game. He's not blocking any shots. I mean, that article written about him, I think that really got to him, and I just want to get your comments on that. Thanks.
Well, Jay, I appreciate the call, and, you know, look, I guess Chris Bosh is finding out. If you want to go down to the States to get more exposure as an NBA player, well, that exposure is two-sided. You know, you're going to get the plaudits when you play well, but you're also going to be criticized when you play poorly or when you don't contribute. And look, the Miami Heat, I mean, the Miami Heat are ESPN's team. You know what I mean? They're the team that everybody, you know, focuses on. They're the team they're going to lead the highlights. They're the team that every day in the NBA after they've played, they are the news of the day. It's the Miami Heat, and that comes with the territory. And so for Chris Bosh to want more media attention, yeah, this is what comes with it. This is the other part of it. You wanted it, you got it. Now, having said that, I don't know what to make of Bosh's comments about, you know, his TV exposure being greater in the States, the comments about couldn't get cable in Canada that, you know, a lot of people have made a big deal about. I don't know if he was taken out of context. I don't know what he means. I do know one thing with Chris Bosh is sometimes Chris Bosh talks a lot. Chris Bosh wants to be communicative, and sometimes he ends up, you know, saying stuff that doesn't come out right. Sometimes he ends up coming across as being an arrogant guy. And this may be one of those cases. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-660-590. But it is clear that the Miami Heat are under the microscope, and nobody more so than Chris Bosh, because LeBron James has done this before. He's dealt with this in Cleveland. I don't think Chris Bosh has had to deal with this. Ryan and Woodbridge, you're in the Fan 590.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. I got to say, DeRozan, honestly, the guy's come from the Compton area. He's hard. He's one of the best basketball players coming through there. And now it's just a little bit of confidence. Last year when he came in, he had to deal with the whole Chris Bosh nonsense, no one really knowing where he was going to fit. I'm glad Bosh is gone, because Triano, there's a reason he was chosen the U.S. team. There's a reason Nash stopped playing for Canada when he stopped coaching. The guy's got a basketball mind. And with players like DeRozan who can slash and cut, and guys like hard-working players like they have, it doesn't surprise me at all that they beat Orlando, and it doesn't surprise me at all that they're giving Miami a run for their money. Just because the media hasn't made any of these guys into superstars doesn't mean they can't play ball.
No, I think, I think the thing is, you know, that what I like about what I've seen in those two games, as I said, you know, I'm willing to go along with the whole we're going to be athletic, we're going to be youthful, we're going to work hard approach. I you know, to me, it's a little too much like a default position. It's a little too much like being an expansion team. But you know what? I mean, it is what it is, and I'm willing to work with that. But what the one thing I think Raptors fans needed to see, I mean, they needed to see somebody develop as an offensive player. They needed to see somebody who could pick up the points that they were losing with Bosh. Whatever you may think of Chris Bosh's game, the fact is somebody had to pick up those points. And you know what? You're starting to see that with DeRozan. And the fact that now, you know, Jay is putting in plays specifically for him indicates that, A, he has the confidence of the coaching staff. And more importantly, B, he must have the confidence of his teammates in order for Jay to feel that he can put those plays in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think Jay's going to put plays in for a player, you know, thinking that the rest of the guys in the court are going to be rolling their eyes and going, what the hell is he doing that for? You know what I mean?
100%. And last year he was tied to Chris Bosh, right? Because Bosh was the franchise. Like, the thing that I, as a Raptor fan, I'm really enjoying is just seeing us come into these games and really all these teams who would look over us, we're making them run and making them have to play basketball. Like, it's good to see that Wade has to throw 30 points down to beat us.
Yeah,
and you know, previous with the Bosh offense, I just really, you know, it's tough because 15 years or so sitting here watching basketball, really enjoying the game, went to school out in Carleton, saw some beautiful basketball out there. I just really wish some more homegrown talent would come through the system. I know I'm still looking for that Canadian player, like Nash is the one and only, but, you know, I'm enjoying the way that it's coming along right now. And just because we don't have the superstars, like, something's going to have to change within the next 5 years, but if we can build our own, then, you know, we're laughing.
Good call, Ryan. Yeah, like I said, I mean, nights like these past two nights are going to make selling this team a lot easier. And now they go into D.C. They're playing a Wizards team that might be without John Wall, who hurt his ankle against the Chicago Bulls, and Yi Jian Lin, who's also out. So you could be playing a shorthanded Wizards team without John Wall, a guy that figures that figured, if he was healthy, to give the Raptors difficulty. So there's a chance here. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We're talking Raptors ahead of Byron Parker, or the Argonauts joining us. And we're just asking the question. DeMar DeRozan's had two pretty good offensive games. Are we starting to see the emergence of DeMar DeRozan as an offensive player? And if that is the case, what does that portend for the Raptors? Jeremy in Toronto, you're on the Fan 590.
Hi, how are you?
Good, sir.
I just wanted to comment about Bosch and how he's going there. In the interview he just recently did there on another broadcaster, he mentioned how he was out of place in Miami right now, and he just wasn't basically finding his niche yet. And that comes, that's understandable. And another comment was said earlier how he just looked out of place and he looked lost. That's in Toronto, he was used to being the number one guy. He was used to, regardless if he got media coverage or not, the ball was coming to him. Now in Orlando, he's without doubt the number three guy, and it almost looks like he's the number four guy behind Haslam. So when he does get the ball, he's expected to make the shot. He can't have an off night anymore, go 4-12. He's got to shoot, you know, 60% or better in order to even get the ball.
No, that's right, Jeremy. And the other thing you'll notice, and we're just going to interrupt, by the way, just to let you know that the Islanders have fired their head coach, Scott Gordon, and I'm sure we'll hear more on that on Hockey Central at noon. But just to get back to the Raptors for a minute, the other thing, Jeremy, is, you know, if you are the third option, and you made this point, I think this is what you're saying, essentially. If you're the third option, you better score when you get the ball because, you know, if you go cold, if you're 0-2 or 0-3, well, then you're not the third option anymore, right?
Exactly. And I think he's having a hard time adjusting to that.
It's a lot of pressure on the guy. You know, now you got to make shots.
Yeah.
Now you got to make shots.
That isn't to come 40, 50 games into the season, he isn't going to be there. But right now, he's not.
No, that is true. And Jeremy, thanks for the call. And that is, you know, people have to realize there is, it's a weird pressure, but there is pressure nonetheless being in the position Chris Bosch is in. We are going to be back with Byron Parker, the Argos cornerback, the Argos defensive back who made the game-clinching interception in the Eastern semifinal on Sunday. You'll want to stick around for that.
All the sports info as it happens. Constant updates online at fan590.com.
Back to pass, Glenn. Quick hitter, far side. Intercepted! Intercepted! The Argos have it! Byron Parker's got it! The Argos are going to Montreal!
That was Mike Hogan with the call in the Fan 590. The Argos beat the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the East semifinal Sunday at Iverwind Stadium. I mean, you want to talk about a place that went quiet really fast? Wow. The man who made that interception, Byron Parker, joins us in the Fan 590. First of all, Byron, congratulations.
Thanks so much.
I would think that for a lot of guys who have been around the team for a while, that game, that win had to be particularly sweet only because, you know, I watched you guys play last year, and I felt bad for the players because you could just tell there wasn't a sense of organization about the team. Well, Jim Barker's brought that this year, hasn't he? I mean, at the end of the day, you guys are a more organized team when you take the field, aren't you?
I would definitely agree. You know, Coach Barker's brought in a sense of, you know, getting things together and, you know, trying to make things happen. You know, he's a player's coach. He's brought in a good staff. You know what I'm saying? And everybody, we all believe. You know, at the end of the day, if you can find a coach that makes his players believe in what he wants them to do, then you know you got a really strong team on your hands. Yeah, excuse me, I'm in the hot tub. We got treatment today. So
you're in the hot tub?
In the background. Yeah.
You got room in there?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never spoken. Well, actually, I have spoken to somebody in a hot tub. That's another story. We don't want to get into that.
Right. Not on the radio.
No, not in the radio. Byron Parker, the Argos, joins us from the hot tub. You know, when you guys, when you took the field against Hamilton, you know, the intensity, I saw the Hamilton players, the intensity that they had when they came out, for whatever reason, I just thought that you guys really It was almost like you deflated it right away, wasn't it?
That was our goal. We knew they were going to come out and try to give us their best shot. You know, we wanted to come out and retaliating by giving them our best shot. So, you know, we always want to go out and match somebody else's intensity and then raise our level of intensity. So, you know, that way we can just call them to fold.
Byron Parker, the Argonauts, joins us in the Fan 590. When you guys knocked Kevin Glenn out of the game and forced them to go to Quentin Porter, even though Glenn came back in the game, when you're in a playoff game, to interrupt, you know, the communication, the momentum, to interrupt the rhythm that a quarterback has or doesn't have with this team, because even if Kevin Glenn isn't playing well, he's been with that team for a while, and you know that it's just a matter before they get in their rhythm. But when you do that, you really do set that team back. It really doesn't matter what the new quarterback or what the replacement quarterback does it? I mean, you've almost accomplished something right there, because it's almost like that team has to go back to ground zero to start out.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, when KG got hurt, you know, we knew Quentin Porter was coming in. And nothing to take away from Quentin Porter. You know, he's a great player. You know, he came in and he moved the ball. You know, he even scored a touchdown. But we knew once Kevin Glenn was out of the game there for a little while, you know, we were going to try to take advantage of the situation. When KG came back, we knew he was a mobile quarterback. So there's always, you know, the chance of him running. So when we found out he had the knee injury, we knew that he wouldn't be able to run as much or as well as he usually does. So it kind of forced him to stay in the pocket a little bit longer and make passes while staying in the pocket instead of using the ability of running the ball by himself.
Byron Parker, the Argonauts, joins us in the Fan 590. What do the Alouettes present differently to you guys than the Tiger Cats?
Man, you know, they're solid. You know, I think, you know, Kevin Glenn and Anthony Cavillo, they're almost the same type of quarterback. I believe Hamilton runs the type of offense Montreal runs, you know, which what I mean by that is by getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands as quick as possible. So, you know, I think we played a style of against the style of offense defensively that we're going to see again in Montreal. I think Montreal's a little bit more precise on what they do. You know, they take advantage of the whole entire field. They use everybody. They have a great, great offense and defense and a great special team. So, you know, we can pretty much expect the same. You know, we're playing against one of the best quarterbacks in CFL history and football history, being Anthony Cavillo. And we know he's smart. You know, he's a guy that's been up here for a long time. He's savvy. So we can expect, you know, to come out and play against a well-prepared Alouette team.
Byron, what did that win mean to you personally? You know, making the game-clinching interception, you know, I think most people who cover this team would say that it probably couldn't have been a more fitting play. But what did that game mean to you personally?
Well, personally, you know, I always hate losing to the Tigers, first of all. You know, I never really lost to them that much my first couple of years up here in the CFL. And just to lose to them on a consistent basis the last 3 years, you know, it's been, for me personally, it's been almost an embarrassment to myself because I know how we've dominated them in the past. So, you know, it's a game that I wanted to win, but not for myself, but for my teammates. And that way, you know, get them in, you know, we're in the playoffs, you know, and a lot of guys have never been to the playoffs, like, you know, Kevin Huntley and, you know, the new guys, Lin J. Shell. So, you know, I wanted to win the guys for them more so than anything, and just let them know that anything can happen once the playoffs start.
416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. We're going to ask callers questions about the Argonauts, and I'm going to ask Byron Parker as well. But very simply, it's a simple question, but I want to know what you all think after seeing that game. Can the Argos beat the Alouettes with Cleo Lemon, a quarterback? And I'm going to get to Byron about that right now. After the game, a couple of us talked to Cleo, and there was an incident after he threw that interception in the end zone when he was walking back past the Tiger Cats bench, and Dave Stalla got in his face. And I don't know who it was, if it was yourself or younger. Somebody literally grabbed Cleo. Somebody from the Argonauts literally grabbed Cleo and basically said to him, you know, pay no attention to that. I mean, I'm sure that wasn't the phrase that was used, but, you know, pay no attention to that. Don't worry about it. You're our guy. Keep your focus. And afterwards, I thought Cleo made the point, you know, he said, whatever the critics think about me, I consider myself to be the leader of this team. I like to think they consider me to be the leader of this team. Is that pretty much the case? Because Cleo takes a lot of heat, as you well know. He takes a lot of heat from those of us in the media and indeed from the fans.
Yo, you know what he does, and I it's so comical the amount of pressure that, you know, the experts and the media put on this guy. You know, at the end of the day, Cleo, he's a veteran, a football veteran, but he's a CFL rookie. You know, for us to think that he's going to come out here and wow everybody every week, week in and week out, you know, I think it's unrealistic. You know, when I was a rookie, I didn't wow everybody all the time. You know, I got beat a lot. I made mistakes. You know, and we understand that. You know, he is our leader. We're behind him 100%. He's been our quarterback all year. You know, and that's just where it is. You know, we're going to go as far as Cleo Lemon can take. You know, I think he played a good game yesterday. You know, granted, he threw the ball in the end zone. You know, okay. But I can deal with that just because, you know, they don't score,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the next series. So it's really not a big deal. It's not one of the plays that hurts us right down there. Would we like to get points? Yeah, but it don't always happen like that. So, you know, but Cleo, to answer your question, Cleo is our leader. You know, he's our quarterback. He's our leader. He's the guy that has the ball in his hands the most. You know, he's the one that's going to carry us. You know, we got great players and Corey Boyd and Chad Owens and Willie Pyle and, you know, the veteran leadership of Jordan Younger and Kevin Ivan and Adriana Bell like that. But at the end of the day, Cleo Lemon is our leader. He's the quarterback, and that's just the way it is. And I know a lot of people don't like it, but at the end of the day, we won 10 games this year. We're 10-9, or we're 1-0 in the playoffs. So right now, he's undefeated in the playoffs. So, you know, Cleo Lemon comes out and plays well next weekend, whatever critics don't say. You know, and that's mm-hmm. where I go. That's how I feel about it. You know, it's tough. You know, it's tough on him, but, you know, he handles it well. You know, I don't think I could be in his position, being the quarterback of a team and taking all the heat that he does, but he does a great job with it.
Byron Parker, thank you so much for joining us. I'll let you recline into the hot tub, but please turn the cell phone off first.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, thanks so much.
That is Byron Parker of the Argonauts joining us from the hot tub, apparently. Apparently, there was room in that hot tub as well. I don't think I've interviewed anyone. I do remember almost walking into the showers to interview somebody one time in spring training, but that was sort of not really paying attention. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Well, you heard Byron Parker. He believes that the Argonauts are capable of beating the Alouettes in Montreal with Cleo Lemon at quarterback. I want to know what you think about that. I mean, the one thing Cleo Lemon said yesterday after the win over the Ticats was that he knew that the Alouettes weren't going to play him the way the Ticats played him. Ticats played a lot of zone defense. There was almost an assumption on the part of the Tiger Cats that Cleo Lemon couldn't beat them, that Cleo Lemon was going to make the big mistake, that it was only a matter of time before Cleo Lemon did something wrong. And as Cleo Lemon said, the Alouettes aren't going to be like that. The Alouettes are going to attack him. The Alouettes defense is a more attacking defense. Consequently, as Cleo Lemon said, the emphasis is going to be on getting rid of the ball quickly. You always want to get rid of the ball quickly, but as Cleo Lemon said, it's most important against a team like Montreal because you know they are going to attack. I mean, it's one thing to wait for mistakes. It's another thing to force mistakes. So there will be a difference this week when Cleo Lemon goes against the Alouettes compared to the way the Ticats played him. And again, and everybody in this city, myself, everybody in the media, whether it's what I've written in the Globe and Mail, I mean, I've taken shots at him. I know that I said at one point that the one thing we knew about when the Bills and the Bears played is that the two NFL quarterbacks, that Cleo Lemon was still going to be the worst quarterback they've played at the Rogers Center this year. I mean, the assumption is there that the Argos win despite him. And really, you know, if they get the type of defensive performance they got, if they can get the type of special teams performance they got yesterday, two big turnovers in special teams, really, All Cleo Lemon has to do is not make that killing mistake. Get a couple of first downs when he needs it. Give the ball to Corey Boyd. Not make that killing mistake. And, you know, that interception in the end zone, the one thing I liked about it yesterday is, you know, yeah, an interception in the end zone is never a great thing. Frankly, you just keep handing the ball off, I think. Or you run a screen pat. You keep trying to work it short to get in the end zone. But I do like the fact that he took a shot. To me, that showed me something about Cleo Lemon. That, you know, we always talk about how the guy won't take a shot, that the guy is too conservative. I saw a little glimmer of a guy there who was prepared to take a shot, and it didn't work out. But I think that that alone might be something to build on. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-660-0590. We're talking about the Argonauts going to the Eastern Final against the Montreal Alouettes with a quarterback that nobody seems to like. I just want to know, do you think the Argonauts can win with Cleo Lemon? Do they have a chance with Cleo Lemon going against Anthony Calvillo, a guy who will go down as... And I'm one of these people. I think... I covered a lot of CFL football when I was younger. I think the last really great CFL quarterback was Warren Moon. Doug Flutie was a great quarterback. But I think the last really great quarterback, the guy who you knew would go on and be a superstar in the NFL and go on and be an all-star in the NFL, I still think Warren Moon was that guy. Nonetheless, Anthony Calvillo has been in the league a long time, and to a certain degree, he is, I guess, the gold standard against which current CFL quarterbacks are rated. And I just want to know from you, do you think the Argos, do you think they can beat Anthony Calvillo? Do you think Cleo Lemon has a chance to take this team to the Grey Cup? And you know, and Reggie Slack's gone to a Grey Cup. Sean Salisbury, who wasn't very good, has gone to a Grey Cup. I want to know, do you think the Argos can get there with Cleo Lemon, a quarterback? 416-870-0590, *590. 1-888-660-0590. There appears to be a sense that the Argos may have the momentum to get to the Grey Cup. I want to hear what you think about it.